Welcome to Radically Transparent, the number one podcast for the modern day marketer, presented by Octopost, the only social media and employee advocacy solution architected for B2B. Each episode shines a light on the inner workings of B2B leadership, including what keeps successful CEOs, CMOs, and VPs up at night professionally. The conversations are real, raw, and authentic, all while revealing the unfiltered, not-so-known truths of today's most interesting marketers. Introducing your host, Jennifer Gutman.
Hello, world. Today's all-star guest is an experienced brand and marketing strategy expert with a passion for developing and implementing strategies that drive commercial impact. Please welcome Gabriella Henault, CMO at Alpha Sites, to the show. Gabriella, are you ready to get radically transparent with me?
I sure am.
Fantastic. I have to say, I love your background. For anyone who is viewing in on the YouTube video, it's phenomenal. And if you're listening in, I would highly recommend sending you over to go look it out. It almost looks like you're speaking in a movie set, maybe a nighttime sky or, you know, a nice romantic scene. We're really, really loving it.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. We actually did a big rebrand earlier this year. And so what you see here is as my backdrop, is actually the kitchen of the Alpha Sites London office. And the really vibrant color palette is a lot of the work that we were doing earlier this year.
I love it. Love vibrant color as I wear my black sweatshirt. So with that said, I'm ready to get radically transparent. And I figured we'd start off with pretty easy question, but I think it gives a lot of insight into your background and what we will be speaking about later on in the show. So, Gabriella, could you give us a brief look at your professional journey and perhaps how you actually found yourself over at Alpha Sites as CMO?
Yeah, absolutely. So rewinding quite a bit, I actually studied political sciences at Georgetown. And through those years, right, through those studies, I realized that I was really interested in storytelling. In my history classes, my politics classes, you know, they were characters. These characters had flaws. They had visions. They achieved outcomes. And I started to become really fascinated, essentially, in storytelling. So I decided that I was going to make visual content. I wanted to work in films or advertising or documentaries. And I set about, making short films, which were rather poor, actually, and doing internships at, television broadcasters. And I really loved it, right? I loved telling stories. So my first job was in advertising at BBDO in the TV production department, helping to make TV ads over there. And I loved the output and working with all these creative people. But I didn't like my role. I was jealous of all the creatives who were coming up with the ideas. And I felt like I was an enabler and I wanted to be the one coming up with the ideas, figuring out what made, consumers tick, doing that research, having that opinion. And so I left advertising and switched to another team in the BBDO group that did marketing and brand strategy. And that's really where I found my home. And I ended up staying in that area of brand and marketing strategy for a good 15 years, the majority of which, so for 14 of those years, I was at Profit, which is a great sort of consultancy in the area of brand and marketing strategy. And I grew up there, right? And I grew up in that world and I was so just in love with understanding consumer needs, researching them, figuring out how to craft those insights into marketing strategies, employee engagement strategies, design, digital experiences, all of that. And after 14 years, I needed a change. I needed a new challenge. And I wanted to really focus on one company, one brand, one industry, and go super deep and have that sort of operational marketing experience going from strategy to operations, from the 10,000 foot view to 1 foot off the ground. And Alpha Sites is an amazing company. It's a super high growth company. It has an amazing culture. And it was just a perfect fit for me, both in terms of professional development and what I wanted to try next, as well as just, values alignment or personality fit.
Wow. So First, I have to say your passion, I mean, the way you told that story, the passion just bleeds through, and we're on a podcast interview. So I hope one day we can meet in real life, because I can feel your enthusiasm. And in terms of, you know, growing up at Prophet, heading over now, you know, to Alpha Sites, could you, for all of us listening in, could you give in one sentence, one quick elevator pitch, what's Alpha Sites?
Yeah, of course. So we're a knowledge on demand provider. So we connect our clients with the perspectives of industry experts all around the world.
That sounds really exciting. And I'm sure we'll kind of tie in some of what you do, you know, in questions later on. But, you know, something that kind of pops into mind with a professional like yourself, who's been in one organization for quite some time and then moved over, you know, to a new organization, doing your thing, doing fantastic things, I should say. There has to be, I can't imagine there isn't, but there has to be things that are just keeping you up at night as CMO. It's definitely not one of those jobs that you sleep easy. So could you share with us today, get a little radically transparent about what actually is keeping you up at night professionally as CMO?
Yeah, of course. So I'd say right now, the number one thing keeping me up at night is talent marketing. And I think you hear in every business, a lot of executives telling you how people are the most important thing, right? They're the lifeblood of every business. And I'm in the privileged position of figuring out how to talk to all of these amazing candidates, all these amazing talents that we want to bring into our business. And Alpha Sites is a huge graduate employer. So we, you know, in 2021, we will have recruited about 600 college grads. So straight out of university globally. Wow. In 2022, our target is more around like, it was a little over 1,000, right? So we have, you know, we have this opportunity to talk to so many graduates, and it's my job and my team's job, along with the recruitment team, to figure out how to talk to them, right? How to be relevant, how to meet them in the middle between what they want and what we can offer. And it's really hard. I mean, it's really hard. It's hard to, their needs change, what we have to offer changes. It kind of feels like you're, you know, standing in the middle of that seesaw, trying to get the perfect balance, right? So that, you know, talent marketing and how to do it authentically is definitely the thing that's keeping me up the most right now.
What's really interesting about that answer, I have to say, it surprised me a bit, right? As CMO, I'm like in my head thinking it must be leads, it must be opportunities, it must be driving revenue. And then you come in with talent marketing. And I think what that just goes to prove is how marketing over time has become such a pivotal part of an organization and every part of it, right? So you're talking about talent marketing. I'm sure you work closely with HR and your recruiters to make sure you're, you know, getting the right talent and portraying, you know, your employer brand as a place people want to work. But again, it just goes back to the thing that's keeping you up at night is a perfect reflection, in my opinion, of where marketing has evolved to. And I'm happy to see that marketing has become, you know, more central to organizations and not just the marketing island that's sitting, you know, far, far away from the business where people wonder, what are those creative minds doing over there? So I'm with you on that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm so lucky over here because I really, you know, my team and I, we really do get involved in every aspect of solving a problem, right? So nobody here ever thinks of us as those creative minds in the corner who get involved at the last minute, right? That doesn't happen. That's not the way we work here at Alpha Sites. And I hope that there are many other marketing professionals out there who get to work the way I do, right? And who are not just, you know, the last mile, the people who get brought in at the last moment. Because I think when you do put marketing at the center and marketing gets to participate in the continuous mining of insights, whether and in the crafting of strategy and in the execution, you just get a much higher quality output.
I love it. You stole the words right out of my mouth. I couldn't agree more. I want to rewind back for a moment because something you had shared, which I think is interesting, and I want to dive in a little bit deeper, is that when it comes to talent marketing and that majority of your candidates are fresh out of university. And keep me honest if I need to rephrase anything there. But fresh out of university, they've never worked before. they don't really know what to expect. Throw in a pandemic, throw in working from home, throw in lack of office. How are you meeting employees or candidates, I should say, or both, where they are in terms of what they expect from you as a brand? And then vice versa, how are you meeting them of what they expect in terms of them as an employee?
Yeah. And it's so it's hard, I think, as always, right? And I'd say the blunt answer is, I don't think we're trying to meet them exactly where they are. Because as you said, these are extremely young people at the beginning of their career, right? They're fresh out of university. And many of them have only had very short work experiences, a couple of different, you know, a couple of months worth of internships. So I don't think it's fair to say that they know what they want. They usually don't know what they want, at least when it comes to work. They don't know what kind of a team setup they're going to thrive in. They don't know how to do hybrid working. They don't know what their preferences are. They don't know what their learning style is when it comes to learning about work processes, right? And so we can't really meet them exactly where they are because they don't know where they are, if that makes sense. They know where they are in many other things of their life, but not when it comes to sort of, you know, the world of work, because that is brand spanking new. So what we try to do instead is find the balance between the things that they know are important to them and the things that we think are going to be the critical tools to teach them how to work, right? So a tangible example of that is, you know, we have a hybrid working policy. So everyone has to be in the office Monday to Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, people can work from home. And one of the reasons why we did that is because we thought, you know, how could we possibly train 1,000 college grads every year if we don't have them in the office, you know, getting that hands-on training, that in-person mentorship, the coffee chats, right? The quick catch-ups, being able to watch their peers and role model them, right? So we decided that for us, that hybrid working model was the best, given almost like our responsibility towards all of our graduate employees. Now, is that exactly what a graduate employee will tell you that they want? Probably not. You know, they're probably going to tell you that they want total flexibility. So that's what I mean by we try to find balance and not always meet them exactly where they say they are or they think they are.
That's really interesting. And, you know, I've actually never thought about that angle in terms of, you know, working from home and in the hybrid environment for younger, newer, even, you know, not even necessarily younger, maybe switching industries, right? That face-to-face interaction where I think many of us have taken for granted as people who have, you know, entered the workforce well before the pandemic. We've almost taken for granted those, you know, water cooler chats or coffee dates or whatever it may be that has kind of shown us the ropes. So when I think about what you're saying in terms of having this hybrid work model, we're kind of touching on a lot of different aspects that we could take this show any direction, probably have you back to speak more in depth. But what are you seeing? You're like the boots on the ground in a leadership role. What are you seeing as some of the major differences between what I'm going to call the old school way of working, which is coming to the office, you know, being in person, even some of the old school mindsets, and against the new school mindsets when it comes to the way we work. So you mentioned one in terms of like complete flexibility versus a little bit more 9 to 5. What are some of them that you're seeing? And then how are you, I guess, I don't want to say handling it, but how are you kind of navigating that old world versus new world work mindset?
Yeah. That's a really good question. And I think it's interesting to when I think about that, I think about some of the things that I observe as changes and then some of the things that maybe haven't changed in terms of mindset. So, for example, some of the mindset shifts that I've observed is just this constant desire to challenge the status quo, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people entering the workforce today, they're asking the question, as they should, you know, why are we doing it this way? Can we do it differently? Is there a better way? You know, just constantly asking challenging questions. And want, expecting their leaders, right? Whether it's their professor, whether it's their, you know, boss at work, expecting their leaders to also want to ask challenging questions and also want to challenge the status quo. I think there's no patience anymore for the answer, well, this is the way we do things because we've always done things this way, right? So that's a mindset shift that I think has happened, right? You know, and it's a good one, right? We should challenge the status quo. I think that's how we get better. And historically, I think you had a lot of people who were happy to slot into established ways of working and accept those norms and learn those norms. And then only after having learned them for a while, maybe challenge, right? Now, I think the newer mindset is, I'm not going to wait around so long to figure out why things are done this way. I'm just going to quickly challenge because it doesn't feel right. So that's one dramatic shift that I've observed in mindset. And then there's some mindset shifts which haven't changed. So like, so money, right? The role of money in somebody's in your offer to a candidate, right? Money still means freedom at the beginning of a career, right? That is very often one of the primary reasons why candidates are gravitating towards certain jobs or turning away from other jobs. Yes. And you have other things in there, you know, like what is my value in society? What is the value of my degree? But first and foremost, money is freedom. It's if I get paid this salary, can I afford to live in New York City or in London? Can I be independent from my parents? Can I get off their health insurance, right? For graduate right, going through their mind, and I think that's that. There's no change there. I think that that's like a constant that I've observed.
So as a leader, right? How are you leading your team, or how are you leading kind of the charge to make sure that those needs in the workplace? Like, how do you even broach these topics? Do you bring it up with your team? Are you radically transparent with them about these types of shifts in mindset, or do you kind of just accept that the new is the new and no looking back? What does the day-to-day look like with the team?
Yeah, so I'd say I'm radically transparent about it, both with my team and with, you know, with my boss, with the CEO, right? And with my colleagues who are the leaders of the HR and the recruitment function. And so I really like to do a lot of research. So we do focus groups with new joiners. We do focus groups with candidates, right? We do expert calls, right? We use our own service, right? And so I like to use that research to stay fresh. And then I go into those meetings with my colleagues, with my team, with my boss, and I say, listen, I heard this insight. I think there's a problem. What are we going to do about it, right? And I'm always radically transparent with sharing those insights and then inviting them to figure out with me what they mean and what we're going to do as a result. So I'd say the easiest way to think about it as a process is that it's like it's a continuous process. It's not like we think about the messages for talent marketing, work on them for 6 months, put them to bed, and then hope to never change them for the next, you know, year. It doesn't really work that way. It's much more of like a continuous evolution, incremental innovation, tweaking all the time. That's what
I love it. At Octopus, we're massive fans of you know, marginal gains and every day doing 1% something, you know, a little bit better. What you're saying is striking so many chords. So with that, I want to ask, because AlphaSight sounds like an amazing place to work, and specifically on your team after what you're sharing. I want to talk a little bit about core values, because it seems that it's ingrained in AlphaSight, this, you know, we have radically transparent, but, you know, very open, and it sounds like an amazing place to work. What are some of your core values as a brand? And then how are you sticking to those, or what are even some of the challenges maybe of those core values?
Yeah, absolutely. So the core values that we have here are results orientation, drive, humility, adaptability, and empathy. And those have been the core values of AlphaSight for a very long time. I think probably since the company was founded. And they're a real reflection of the two co-founders' personality, you know, who they are at their core, their ethos. And one of the things that struck me about AlphaSight when I was interviewing is that, you know, after having consulted for 14 years for, you know, all these huge companies, right? These Fortune 500 companies. I had never experienced a company where you could just feel these values oozing out of every employee. I mean, so you don't even need to put the posters on the walls with the values, right? Because they're literally oozing out of every employee, right? And that, I was just blown away. I thought that was just absolutely incredible, almost magical. I couldn't figure out how they had done it. And we do recruit people in order for them to align with the values, right? Because what as a recruitment philosophy, what we found is that, yeah, you can teach people a lot of skills, right? And it's our job to grow talent, right? And to teach people skills. But you need to make sure that there's a values alignment or a mindset alignment at the beginning. Otherwise, there's just going to be a lot of friction over the journey. And so we actively recruit people who are aligned with these values. And so that's how we get people to live it. That's how we define our culture. That's how we get our culture to sort of, yeah, as I said, leap off the printed materials and the website and literally into the DNA of the company.
I love it. It's so organic, what you're describing. Yeah. And I think you can't force authentic company culture. It really has to be in the DNA. And it does go back to that root of recruitment marketing. And again, I'll say it again, right? Marketing is at the epicenter of many organizations today with recruitment marketing on mind, but it's such an important part of any organization because it starts from the top. If you're not getting the right employees, if you're on social media, right? If you even think bigger to like social media presence, where so many organizations think, oh, you know, social media, we'll post here, well, we have to have a presence, but that's where employees go, prospects go, candidates go to see more about you if they align with your business. So even the nuance is there to me. Everything what you're saying, it's just coming really full circle and tying together. And I hope we can have and find more time to speak together. Our episode is, you know, coming to an end. I have one last question for you. It's my favorite one to ask our guests. So I want to know, before this interview, I have to share, I had done my due diligence. I Googled your name, had a little bit of fun on the internet to see what I could find and learn about you. One of the first places I go naturally is LinkedIn. What's one thing you can tell us about yourself that we cannot find about you on your LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, so there's a lot about me which is not on my LinkedIn profile. You know, I'm a mom. You know, my sisters are the biggest influences in my life. I think probably the thing that's not on my LinkedIn profile, which is the most pertinent to work, is that I was a really competitive ice skater up until I went to college, and I was pretty good, but I wasn't like amazing. I wasn't going to go to the Olympics, but I worked really hard at it, and you know, like 30 hours a week, you know, like really, really hard at it. And I think the reason why that impacts me as a professional is because through that exercise, I learned to fail. I learned grit. I learned perseverance. I learned how to commit things to muscle memory, you know, sort of the benefits of repetition. And so while I never ended up becoming, you know, a world-class ice skater, I do really think that experience helped me become a far better professional today. So, yeah.
That's incredible. I'm going to ask, if we were to YouTube you, would we find any incredible ice skating videos, or was this before YouTube time?
This is before YouTube time, so you would not. I guess I'm really lucky.
Right? All right, Gabriella, thank you so much for joining me today and getting radically transparent. It was a blast. I wish you the most success, and we'll all keep an eye out. Last question, anybody listening in, wants to learn more about Alpha Sites, has more engaging conversation they'd like to have about recruitment marketing or anything we spoke about today, where's the best place to reach you?
Yeah, so they should go to our website and fill out one of the contact us forms. So that's alphasites.com.
Amazing. Gabriella, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to the Radically Transparent podcast brought to you by Octopost, the only social media management and employee advocacy platform architected for B2B. I'm Jennifer Gutman, your host and director of social strategy here at Octopost. And if you love today's show, we'd love if you subscribe, rate, and give a raving review wherever you get your podcasts. For more discussion on B2B social media marketing, be sure to follow Octopost on LinkedIn. And of course, to gain access to all our free social media marketing and employee advocacy resources, head on over to our website, www.octopost.com. Until next time.